So this morning, I would like to look at a few things about meditation. But first, so I am French, and I speak English, and if at any moment, either you don't understand my accent, and you wonder what she is saying, or if I use a word and you think, what does that mean? You can just raise your hand, and then somebody will translate. I'll pronounce it better, so don't hesitate wondering what does that mean. Then a small announcement that we've on the board where we have the announcement, then you are asked for the group interviews and which day you see which people in the room down there. And then next to it, I have put the list of the personal interviews. So when you sign up, please be careful that you're not signing up at the same time as you have the group interview. So just be careful of the timing and the day so that it all works out. So when we talk about meditation, then I think you can have many, as I said yesterday, you can have many different styles. And if we just look at the Buddhist tradition, you have different schools and different tradition, that it be Zen, Vipassana, Insight, Theravada, Tibetan. Within the Tibetan tradition, you have many different schools. Within that, you have many different methods. Same within the Theravada tradition. A little bit the same within the Zen tradition. So you have many different ways to meditate technically. And so I will introduce a few of these things, but not so many. I don't want to confuse you, and we only have 4 full days. So that's why I think it's more important to look at what are the building blocks. What are the essential components of meditation instead of the technique itself or the tradition itself? And so when we are meditating, we are trying to cultivate together focusing and questioning. And this because these two different qualities, when we cultivate them, helps us in a kind of a two different way, which complement each other. So one element is often referred to as concentration, or I would prefer to use the term anchoring or focusing. And why I prefer the term anchoring is because when we say concentration, and I don't know how it works in Finnish, but in English or in French, if you say concentrate, then generally people tense up. And they also narrow. And this really, we don't want, as you sit in meditation, we don't want you to tense, and we don't want you to narrow. So that's why I prefer to use the word anchoring. So generally what it means is that we use an element, that it be an element in the experience, or that it be an element that we introduce, like with the questioning, for example, in the Korean Zen tradition. And then we use that element, that it be the breath, the body, the sound, a phrase, a question, as a means to anchor. And so back to that image I mentioned this morning of the boat and the anchor. So when we have a boat which is anchored, the boat is not immobile. The boat actually moves, but it does not move too far, and it doesn't get lost. And so this is a bit the same principle in meditation. When we use, for example, the breath as an anchor, it doesn't mean that we try to grasp the breath and stay with the breath the whole time. But it means we use a breath as an anchor, as a mean to come back again and again, to be centered, to be grounded in the experience here. So a lot of the meditation is about being present to our experience, but in a creative way. Because a lot of the time we are present to our experience, but generally we amplify it, we're weighed down by it. So here we are trying to be present to our experience in a creative, wise, compassionate way to ourselves, to others. So the anchoring is basically a way to bring us back to the experience, but in a slightly more spacious way. Because often what happens, and that's where we kind of can connect it to identity, is that there is our experience, and it's multifaceted, it's multi-perspectival. We have our six senses, we have the environment. So it's quite a kind of, I would say generally, it could be quite a large experience. But a lot of the time, we generally, suddenly we grasp at one thing in the experience, often a thought, or a feeling, or a sensation, or a sound. And then our whole experience becomes that. We cannot see anything but the thought, or the feeling, or the sensation, or the sound, or whatever. So then we exclude a lot of our experience by just being with one thing which composes this experience. And so the meditation with the anchoring is trying to make us, in a way, focus in a different way, focus in an inclusive way, so that you're aware of the breath, but within a wide open awareness. So the way I would describe it is that in the foreground you have the breath, and you come back to the breath as you can, and we in the background you have everything else. The thought, the feeling, the sensation, the sounds. But because you're aware of the breath, anchoring in the breath, then it's kind of like there is more space around everything else. And so they can arise and they can pass away. And of course, you might be, you know, a little involved with this thought, a little involved with this sensation or with this sound. But then, by coming back to the breath, it helps you to come back to something more spacious. So you're not locked in any one thing. And so, in a way, the point of the anchoring is very much to come back and to kind of settle on the object. So you could say the breath, the body, the sound, you can use different objects. And so when you do that, it has over time a certain effect. The first effect it has is that, let's say you have certain thoughts, and then, oh, you see you have the thought, and gently you come back. Because it's your choice to be anchored in the breath right now. It's not because the thoughts are bad, or we're not fighting with the thought, or the feeling, or the sensation, but it's more that we're choosing to cultivate a certain exercise. So because of that, we gently come back to the breath. And if you do this often, then actually one of the things that happen is that you don't feed, you don't feed the patterns. Because often our identity is often locked into certain pattern of thinking, of feeling, of sensing, of relating. And then we kind of feel like this, we're stuck within that identity. I cannot, sometimes you nearly say, I cannot stop myself from doing this. Because there is kind of this pattern, which seems to be a little fixed, and once we start in it, then it's hard for it to dissolve. And basically the anchoring is a bit of a dissolving mechanism to the patterning. So that you come back to the breath, you're not feeding the thought, you're not continuing with it. Through that you dissolve its power, through that also you come back, notice, when you come back to the breath, you actually come back to the whole moment, to the whole experience. And then fourth, we come back to the breath, we also come back to the creative functioning of the thought, the feeling, the sensation, the relating. So we're not trying to stop thinking, feeling, sensing, etc. But we're trying to help it to come back to a more creative functioning. So when you want to think, you do so. When you have emotion, you do so. When you have sensation, you do so. So it's kind of like the anchoring is very much about creating, bringing more space, but also dissolving a little that kind of fixity, which helps to dissolve a little the possibly problematic fixity in certain part of our identity. And of course, if the thought comes back to that creative functioning, if we have a little more space, then generally we might be also a little more quiet, a little more calm. Because there still be thought, but they might not be so automatic. They might be a little more creative. Then the second aspect is the questioning. It's a looking deeply. It's often referred to as vipassana, which now has become part of the name of a tradition. Often vipassana is translated as insight. But actually, vipassana means looking deeply. So basically, when we do this in meditation, we can do it again in many different ways, but we are kind of trying to look deeply into our experience. So basically, what it means is we try to be within the experience itself. And then to notice certain characteristic of that experience. And so generally one thing to focus on in terms of that experiential inquiry, looking deeply, is change. Just to be aware of change. And you might say, but change, I mean, I know things change. I mean, we know things change. Yesterday was not snowing, and now it's snowing. Very interesting. And then what do we think? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but you see the snow, and we think, oh, it's going to snow all day. It's going to snow every day. We will not be able to get out. I mean, that's what happened to me in Italy. I was teaching in Italy, and suddenly it snowed. I mean, this was very rare there. Suddenly it snowed. I was sitting in meditation and suddenly I kind of, all this snow falling down. And then somebody left because they thought they were going to be stuck. But the snow melted like very fast. Here, I presume this in Finland, I'm fairly sure we can get out no matter what. So I'm not worried about it. But it's interesting how we have a tendency to make things longer than they might be, by immediately feeling this is going to last a long time. I mean, today you might feel a little sleepy, but personally I would not presume you're going to be sleepy the whole time, and every time. So in a way, what we're doing with the looking deeply, the experiential inquiry is actually because generally what we do often, because we are human being and we are meaning-making machine, things have meaning. And it's very important that things have meaning, otherwise it would be a little difficult. So, in a way, we experience something and immediately we often comment on the perception of it. So we're looking deeply, we're trying to stay with the perception and not go into the commenting. So we just, and within that we're able more to see the change. Because with the commenting, generally we go into this is going to last. We have kind of this very quick tendency, to generalize, which is again a creative functioning. So here, with the looking deeply, we're just trying to kind of, in a way, go inside the experience. If we feel sleepy, how do I experience that? How long does it last? How can I help myself within it? So personally, I would say if you feel sleepy, straighten the back, open the eyes, and generally that will help you to feel less sleepy. Otherwise, if you feel often sleepy when you meditate, then I would say walk a little briskly outside and then come and sit. Also, just be with it. You know, you might feel a little sleepy and oops and oops, oops and oops. And then just be with it. How does it feel? And at some point, it generally lifts and then you feel bright again. If you feel really, really sleepy, then you can go and lie down and sleep a little bit too. So you can, in a way, creatively engage with it as it arises, as it happens. The same with the sensation. We might have various sensations as you sit, especially if you sit on the floor. You might have, you know, here what you have to see. I know we don't have so many chairs, but we could, you know, let's see what happens. Because I really don't want you to be in agony sitting on the floor. But to see, do I sit? And then within 5 minutes, it's really painful. And then I would say, you know, try to find more cushion or try to sit on a chair. Or is it that I sit? And then only after 20 minutes it starts to be a little uncomfortable. That if you want to shift once, that's fine. But I would not shift several times because then generally it doesn't help. So kind of, but then also observing the sensation. Does it just arise and pass away? Or if the sensation stays, going inside the sensation, and how does it change within itself? So it's not, we're not commenting on it, kind of going abstraction around it, but we're going inside the experience itself. So that's what the looking deeply is about. So for example, with the breath, we can notice the air comes in a little cooler, comes out a little warmer. With the sound in the background, they arise, they pass away. Or with thoughts. I mean, I know as you sit in meditation and there is nothing to do, then generally you might have lots of thoughts. But just notice that actually, again, you will have different kind of thought. You have light thought, which just come and go. Then you have a little more sticky thought, which kind of like seems to be a little repetitive, like maybe planning or daydreaming or ruminating. And in a way, part of the looking deeply is just also to see what is it I feel in the experience, what is it I think, what is it I sense. So we're not trying to push this away. But the looking deeply is using the brightness of the mind, but a kind, compassionate mind to see, oh, this is what I'm thinking. Do I want to continue to think this? Possibly yes, possibly not. And then you could come back to the breath as an anchoring device. When I, for 10 years, many years ago, I was a nun. I was a Zen nun in Korea. And so there you did a lot of meditation, lots of meditation. And so once I was sitting in meditation, and suddenly I realized I was actually daydreaming about meditation. So I was sitting in meditation and I was thinking, if I went in a hermitage and if I practiced really hard, and then I would awaken and then I would save everybody. And then I thought, I am daydreaming about meditating. This is not meditating. So then that one went. Then I started to see, oh, I did dream about this. Then he goes, and oh, there is that one. So in a way, it's just to notice, oh yeah, I go here, I go there. But there is a possibility each time to come back to the breath. So I think it's very important. The great master said, you can have 1,000 thoughts, but 1,000 times you can come back. So we're not trying to stop the thought, but with the looking deeply, we're just noticing, oh yeah, I'm thinking this. Yeah, I am feeling that. How does it feel? What is the sensation? So in a way, the looking deeply is exploring in the experience what is going on in a way in this body-mind complex. Because all this is going to contribute to our identity. And then one thing to look at a little bit is in a way the difference between cultivation and effect of the cultivation. Is that, like, what is interesting with vipassana, that term, mostly it is translated as insight. Which then might give you the impression, if I sit in meditation, then I must have an insight. So you're kind of waiting, you know, looking for an insight. But actually, it adds two meanings. One meaning is looking deeply, which is a cultivation of something. So looking deeply is just sitting in meditation, walking in meditation, and just be aware of our experience, and being aware that it changes, and how it manifests. So that's a cultivation. Then of course, from that cultivation, we can have an effect. And the effect could be clarity, could be openness, could be insight. But often I feel we meditate, and as we meditate, of course, we're not meditating because we have nothing better to do, and if only I had known, I would have gone to the Bahamas. I mean, you might think that, I don't know. But you come to meditate because you hope it's going to help you. You hope it's going to have an effect. But at the same time, we have to be careful of this kind of like, what I would call the long-term effect, and the expectation of a short-term effect. So like if you sit in meditation and you try to anchor in the breath for 5 minutes, be aware of change, and then if after 2-3 minutes you kind of check, is this working? Am I more calm? Am I more spacious? I mean, this is what I call checking meditation. This is not what I would call meditation itself. Because meditation is really about the cultivation. It's about the anchoring. It's about the experiencing the change. And then the effect will take care of themselves. So I think noticing, when am I going into this checking meditation, is this working? And when am I just trying the best I can with the condition I have? So I think also, in a way, is to appreciate that at any given moment, we might have lots of energy, we might feel brighter, other time we might feel a little sleepy, we might feel a little tired, other time we might feel a little vague. But the fact that you feel bright, tired, vague, agitated, doesn't mean that you're not trying hard enough. At any given moment, you will be trying as hard as you can within that moment. So, please, I would really encourage you to not worry too much about the effect, and not worrying at all about, am I trying hard enough? You are, at any given moment, trying the best you can. And that will have an effect. But to me, what I found interesting about meditation is not so much what I call the obvious effect. of feeling clear or calm or loving or whatever it might be. But what I found really as an effect over time, especially in terms of our daily life, is what I call the de-grasping effect. And that is very subtle, and is a fact that often at the end of a meditation or a walking meditation, you feel a little, just like there is, even if you were having lots of thought or whatever, there is like a little relaxing, what I call a little de-grasping. And that is really what is going to help us in terms of creatively engaging with identity. So I would really encourage you today to try as best as you can, considering your conditions, trying to anchor, so I would say using the breath this morning. Of course, if you have a cold, or if the breath doesn't work for you, you can be aware of the body. You can be aware of the feet on the ground, or the leg on the ground. You can be aware of the sensation of contact, of the clothes on the body, of the air on the cheeks. We can just be aware of the whole body. Or we can be aware of specific sensation and notice how they change. So, to start with, I'm suggesting the breath because a lot of people are familiar with this, but you can also do being aware of the body, and you can also, of course, be aware of sounds, but I'm also aware there are not many sounds here. So there are many different ways we can be aware. So again, anchoring the breath, if that works for you, but you can also choose other anchor if they work for you or if you want to explore them. So is this relatively clear? Good, so we'll do now, we're going to have 30 minutes of sitting, then 30 minutes walking, then 30 minutes sitting, then 30 minutes walking, and then at the end we'll have 30 minutes of question and answer discussion. So first, if we stand up, so if we can do